Hey everyone, thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of Kid Socks of Motherhood with myself, Vesta, and my amazing co-host, Kelly.
Hey everybody.
What's going on, y'all? We just want to say thank you so much for joining us today for another episode. You could have listened to another podcast, but you chose to come and kick it with us today. So, today is a topic that we are excited to talk about. Mm-hmm. We know a lot of parents can relate to this topic, especially if you have older kids. So, Kelly, I would love for you to introduce the topic of today.
Well, so it depends on how you're feeling, parents out there. You either say terrible twos or terrific twos. It's all within your preference. And it's so funny because Vesta and I are very within the mix of the idea for the age of two. I have a three-year-old and a 19-month-old, and Vesta has a two-and-a-half-year-old. So the topic came up, ironically, because I was like, you know what, Vesta? Really, I don't see the twos as being a concern, even though you always hear the daunting of, oh no, they're hitting two, it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. And when I was explaining to Vesta, I was like, really, the threes? I'm going to, if we had to put a terrible on something, I would say threes. No, I'm just joking. But I would put it on the threes. I feel like three for a kiddo, when they, especially for boys, I don't know what it is. It is a little bit more of a challenge because they're communicating a little, you know, communicating more. So for like my son, he's never had the behavioral aspect that some people might say that their kids experience. But for him, it was always because he was has always been able to like kind of articulate his kind of his wants and his needs. Mm-hmm. And when he got to a point where he's really able to communicate certain things, you have to catch yourself because you're like, who are you talking to? Because he's able to really just have conversations with you and engage. And we call him our little ear hustler. It's funny because he's able to
comprehend and understand. Oh,
seriously. Memory is so sharp. He could have heard something last week that somebody said, and he could have comprehend and, excuse me, because my three just tried to bust in on me there.
Okay.
So he's able to comprehend and understand different things. And sometimes we figure, you know, we're wondering like, where did he get that from? And it's because he was listening to a conversation. He's one of those kids that he learned the idea of being seen and not heard, which is a strange thing because we never, that's not anything that we promote in our household. And if you know us, you'll be like, oh wow, these are the most probably free spirited parents ever. But he picks up on so much stuff, like just so much stuff. And it got to a point when, you know, during this year that I'm so happy that he's going to be entering a new stage tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, his birthday is tomorrow. That went by fast.
I'm glad. Listen, because this is going to have been an interesting year. So I'm ready for this next stage for him because the only downfall I would say that came about within this situation is that even though he's able to articulate, you know, certain phrases and conversations, the part I would feel like that he hasn't had a chance to master, and you can definitely piggyback on this, Vesta, is the idea of the emotional aspect. Because yeah, I tell you, whew, that has been a journey within itself of really comprehending like what's going on, how is he feeling. Whereas with girls, they're expressive from the beginning, okay? Like from the beginning. Boys, not as much that I can relate to, no. But girls, they are very, very expressive. So for him, that's been our challenge with the threes. Is really trying to understand that piece of everything. But I don't want to overtalk though, Vesta. So I'm curious for you to chime in and tell us about little Eli here, because he's at the 2.5 mark.
Yeah. And it's so funny that you know, talked about that emotional development piece, because that's the piece I kind of want to just focus on today. But yeah, so Eli, we are, 6 months in to him being in that two phase. Mm-hmm. And I try not to say terrible twos, because I believe that, you know, what you speak, it is. So I say terrific twos, you know, even though there are some days where he is just acting like who did it and what for. But I, for the most part, have definitely seen more so of the, when it comes to the emotional aspect, the frustration when he cannot properly communicate, you know, his needs or how he's feeling. So of course, as parents, you're trying to interpret, you're trying to figure out, you know, what's wrong, why are you crying? And when they can't do that, then they act out. And so I think as parents, it's important too for us to understand and remember that these are little humans. They're only two.
Yeah.
And I was reading an article from verywellfamily.com, and I love how they, you know, just talked about that under, as parents, when we understand our the developmental phases that children go through, it helps us to cope better as parents. And I think that's important, because we could be so quick to discipline without understanding why are they exhibiting this type of behavior, you know. So for toddlers, it's not necessarily that they are, you know, just trying to intentionally act out. Well, it could be that they're trying to communicate something with us, and they don't have the proper vocabulary yet, or the proper way to nonverbally let us know what's going on, how they're feeling. So as a parent, I try my best, you know, to really pay attention. I try my best to really be patient with Eli in those moments where he's needing something, he's wanting our attention, and, you know, when we're trying to figure out what's going on, okay? But I do admit there are some times when, as a parent, you can just tell when your kid just acting out just because. So there are those moments where, you know, hey, grab him by the shoulders and be like, look, boy, if you do not calm down. But for the most part, I think it is just important for us parents to just remember that they are developing cognitively, emotionally, and mentally. And so it is our duty as their parent to guide them, to teach them about emotional expression as they are going through these developmental phases, you know?
Yes. I cannot agree with you more, because I feel like as parents, we really have to understand our kids, right? Like, really pay attention to their needs, their wants, and just different aspects of that.
Right.
Because I feel like sometimes, you know, you might hear parents say, oh, I know my kid, but do you really? Do you really know the importance of, you know, the structural day-to-day operations that you guys incorporate, and how that helps to balance the child out? So
exactly.
The one thing, and I know you and I talked about this before, is routine. And with my oldest, for him, he has to have his routine the same. If any time that is thrown off, even by like a millisecond of something, he is just like, oh no, like it just does not work for him, because he strives off that structure. And so does my daughter. Like, she, you know, as well, as like, they enjoy that structure, and it helps as a parent to have that structure in place where they're just not all, you know, all over. And that's why, you know, in a sense, like when, you know, because you guys, you know, we are moms, so we might get interruptions every once in a while by accident. That's why he was like busting in as we're talking, is because he's asking about like, hey, mom, because this is school time. And he's like, am I doing this correctly with my schoolwork, you know? And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm like, yeah, you got it. And it's because he's accustomed to me being like right there doing things with him. And I say this to say that has helped us really, you know, get a hold on his social and emotional development of having that routine. Because for him, he needs those times to like release that structural time where he's like, he's doing, you know, he's focusing on this part, doing this part of the brain, or he's doing that part of the brain. You know, we pay attention that much to be able to say, okay, this is what he needs today to be successful. Because we don't, you can't, even though you have a routine, you can't do the same thing all the time, because that doesn't work either. but you have your basics where, you know, again, with him, he can tell you like how his day is supposed to be structured, and, you know, it works. Like, he's like, it works for him. So when it's not exactly like that, he will get upset. You know, he might start whining, and we're just like, what's, you know, what's going on? And he's like, oh, I thought we were going to do this. And and it's just like, well, yeah, you know, now we're going to try to do it this way. So once he understands, like, kind of comprehends, because as kids, they don't know, they're just accustomed to doing it, whatever. And once he's able to comprehend that, and like you were saying, like, our, usually our first go-to thing is to discipline, because we're like, oh, you're being defiant. And it's like, no, he's not being defiant per se. He's just trying to understand, like, what changed, because you told me we're going to do it like this, and now we're not. So, you know, you just got to keep that kind of stuff in mind, parents. Like, and that's why I said twos are a little, to me, they were easier because they're still in that I'm not a baby anymore, but I want to be more of a toddler, and you can still like coddle them as much as possible. When they hit that three, it's just, woo!
I'm not ready.
A different ball game. So all my moms and dads out there, like, I'm curious about your stories about your twos and your threes. So now we get to enter the chapter of the Fantastic Fours, and I'm really excited for that, for him. And it kind of blows my mind. I'm like, wow, this time 4 years ago, I was prepping for his arrival.
And I was texting like, oh my God, did she have the baby yet?
And I'm over here trying to keep the other baby in to at least the first, so we can hit, you know, like, our extreme safe zone for things. But no, it's just, it's the greatest experiences, I would say, when it comes to just development. And I think for us as stay-at-home moms, Vesta, and again, you could definitely piggyback off of this too, is that I feel like we have like the upper hand in a sense, because we get to watch this every day. Like, every day, even though some days we're just like, oh, maybe I should put you in school. But then you like, then you, yeah, the other days you'd be like, man, I did that.
I know, right? Yeah. But I do want to touch on that routine. Like you said, kids thrive with that routine. And that's one thing that I read on early, you know, while he was still an infant, just trying to see what does those transitions look like. When they develop into that toddler. And one thing I did come across was kids thrive off of structure. So in the beginning, it was really hard for me to set a structure. And of course, you have mom guilt, which is another topic. And you kind of beat yourself up for not really implementing something. But, you know, I've learned to be patient with myself. And so as time went on and I've learned how my kid functions, we've developed a structure. And now, even more so, since we're in the middle of this pandemic and we are sheltering in place, our structure had kind of got interrupted. So now we had to create a new structure.
This is true.
And so I was laughing the other day. We went for a walk, and normally on a walk, I have a snack for him, or a sandwich, goldfish, or whatnot. And I put him in a stroller, and he looks up and he asks my husband, he was like, sandwich. And I felt so bad, because normally I would have a sandwich for him, but that just lets me know how much he pays attention to what we do in our routine. He was looking forward to his sandwich as usual while we were on our walk. Even at bedtime, I love the bedtime structure. He knows that after he brushes his teeth, it's time to go to bed. It used to be a fight, but now after he brushes his teeth, you know, we'll wipe him down. And if it's me or my husband, we'll tell him to say, you know, good night to the other parent. And I love it. I'll say, all right, now say good night to daddy. He say, good night, daddy. Bye bye. And there's no fight, because he knows that, all right, I brush my teeth, it's time to go to sleep. So I really do believe that the structure and implementing a routine definitely helps to help them strive because they have something to look forward to.
100%.
Yeah, and it helps them just structure. It just helps them to be structured as, you know, growing individuals. So let's kind of just touch on, I guess, ways to cope or deal with those moments when your toddler are having a tantrum. Kelly, what are some of the things that you've implemented or you've seen that would work for you if you had, you know, Caleb acting out or whatnot?
So with Caleb, he was a different kind of kid. It really wasn't behavior with him whatsoever. As for him, he was very easy to redirect, like super, super easy to redirect. So you literally, like, if he's a very excitable kid. So for him, you know, he loves jumping and, you know, pull, you know, energy wise. So for us, all we got to do is just say for him, like, hey, well, so that's why I say we're very free spirited. So excuse me when I tell the story. So for him, he loves to jump. And we don't mind him jumping. You could jump wherever you please. But we always say, if you're going to jump somewhere, jump on, like, your bed. So if you break your bed that's broken. Nobody else's. We don't care. So for him, he would just be, like, jumping, like, on his bed. And that was when we were living in a smaller space. So now we're going to incorporate, like, a trampoline and things like that. But, you know, they're sold out, like, everywhere. Now what he does is he just goes outside, gets on his bike. Put in mind, this 3-year-old is riding a bike, and he mastered it to the point that he rides it with slide-ons. Not the ones with the back strap, but just slide-ons. He's out there just riding with slide-ons. And I'm just like, how did you figure that out? Okay, cool. And then, you know, he's, like I said, very easy to redirect. You know, go get you some sun, go run, go play. And then he's like, whew, tired. All right, Mom, I need a break. But for my 19-month-old, my one with all the emotions, for her, the redirection, it all depends on how she's actually feeling. So typically, because she has a beautiful voice at her age, like, I mean, can sing, catch a tune, all this other stuff. Even now, she's, like, enjoying the piano. Very interesting. Music, for her, always the greatest, you know, redirection. Doesn't matter what kind of music. My baby loves music. So if you play a song that she loves to hear, she's, like, she's all for it. Or we'll say, go find your brother, right? And she'll find him and give him, like, the biggest hug, and then she'll be like, I don't know what she's saying in baby talk. He'll be like, it's okay, Serenity, and then give him a hug, and then she's like, all better.
I love it.
She's my one when it comes to doing things and coping. The redirection is very interesting, but the powerful tool for her is music.
That's good. I agree with the redirecting. It works for Eli some of the time when we, you know, present him with alternatives. Like, some of his favorites is it's music, of course, and bubbles, anything that really deals with outside. If I say, hey, let's go outside, or hey, you want to get in your car seat? He loves to go for car rides. So that helps definitely. I'm not a timeout kind of person. I haven't really, you know, implemented that. One thing I did want to mention, I came across that article. They mentioned after the child has done or finished their tantrum, praise them for changing their behavior and not, you know, recounting the previous moment of them acting out. So say, for instance, they just got done acting out and say, see, this is, I'm proud of you, but don't do this again. Or I'm proud of you and you're good now, but, you know, just don't mention the previous behavior that they did. Just focus on them changing their behavior. So that's one thing I've definitely found myself doing more with Eli after he gets done with his tantrum. I would, you know, give him a hug and tell him, hey, you're such a big boy. Look at you, you know. So that helps. And just what you said earlier, just talking about being stay-at-home moms and having that upper hand. Yeah, I definitely agree. There are some days, like you said, where I'm thinking to myself, okay, can I really continue to do this? But yep. on the other hand, when you see the progress that your child has made in their education development and emotional development, whatever, you see how they're growing, you look and you pat yourself on the back because you know that no one else had control of that but you. Yep. You know, you were that person in that environment that helped to develop them to where they are now. That is definitely a plus as a stay-at-home mom. And that is what, for me, keeps me going and continuing to do what I do. So I'm just really excited. As he's getting older, it's so crazy because I feel like we just had these kids yesterday. And, you know, Eli's going to be 3 in a few months. And Caleb is about to be 4. I'm just like, and Serenity, I felt like she was born yesterday. And she's halfway to 2, so but I'm super super thankful. Is there anything else that you had that you wanted to say?
No, I just encourage you guys to please give us some feedback on ways you guys are managing, you know, the 2s, the 3s, and the 4s. We are, you know, definitely here to support. And the one thing I would say, just to throw this out there, if you can establish a routine, even with a newborn, if you can start as early as that, you are giving yourself the upper hand. I promise you. And not something that's very rigid, not a rigid one, but a very flexible routine, even with your newborn, you will find yourself being rested and not overwhelmed. Those are just some things that I would promote. So remember, guys, we do give feedback. We do give feedback. We love feedback because we talk back. So just remember that you can reach us on Instagram, KSA_motherhood. So remember, we're there. So feel free to like, follow, share, check us out, look to see what's going on. Or if you just want to do something more personal, feel free to send us an email. @ksam.info. So feel free to just, you know, reach out to us either one of those ways. And if you have something that you want to hear us talk about, let us know, because we're all for it, you know, because we're experts in our kids, things that we have done, things that we have tried. And we are creating this mom village and dad village. So everybody village. So just don't feel shy. But this is Kelly signing off. Peace and love.
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much once again. And cheers to another Mom Winning Wednesday.